Now, there are some things in life that are hard to understand. That when you think about it, it's quite hard to work out in your mind how it is possible. Take, for instance, the ship of Theseus. That theory says you can replace any component of a ship and it will still be the same ship. So you can replace every part one at a time and it will still be the same ship. But then you could take all the original pieces that you've replaced, assemble them into a ship, and that too will be the same ship you started with. Or, similar to that, John Locke's sock. He proposed a scenario regarding his favourite sock that developed a hole. He pondered whether that sock would still be the same sock after a patch was applied to the hole. If yes, would it be still the same sock after a second patch was applied? In fact, would it still be the same sock many years later, even after the material of the original sock had been replaced with patches? Or maybe on a lighter note, that classic scene from Only Fools and Horses, where Trigger claims he's had the same robe sweeper's broom for 20 years, but then adds that his broom has had 17 new heads and 14 new handles. When Sid, the cafe owner, asks him, how can it be the same broom then? Trigger produces a picture of him and his broom and asks, what more proof do you need? It looked the same. So some things do seem to be hard to understand. And in Isaiah 53, verses 13 and 14, we're presented another example. In the first stanza of this famous song of the servant. Look with me at verses 13 and 14. See, my servant will be successful. He'll be raised and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were appalled at you. His appearance was so disfigured that he did not look like a man. And his form did not resemble a human being. Back in verse 10 of Isaiah 52, there is a promise that all the nations of the world will see God's salvation. And from verses 13 onwards, we see that this will come through God's servants as he acts wisely, meaning that he knows exactly what to do in order to bring about this conclusion, this salvation. God's servant here is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament writers, whether that be Matthew or Luke or Paul or Peter or John, are clear who Isaiah is talking about. Even Jesus himself confirms this to be the case. Jesus will succeed in bringing salvation to people from all over the world. And because of this, he will be raised. He'll be lifted up. He'll be highly exalted. But the shock comes in verse 14. Many were appalled at him. He was revolting to look at. His appearance became so disfigured that people wondered if he was even a human. Such was the beating he took at the hands of the Roman soldiers prior to being nailed on the cross. How then, if Jesus was treated so appallingly, if he was subjected to vicious cruelty and then killed, can he be raised and lifted up and greatly exalted? But those two things don't seem to go together. How can Jesus be both exalted and dead? It's no wonder that people don't believe the message about Jesus dying on the cross as a way that God brings salvation to the nations of the world. A man who was unimpressive, rejected, who in the end died. Surely he can't be God's saviour. Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that this message of Christ crucified is a stumbling block to both the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But this song here in Isaiah does make it clear that he will bring salvation. He does bring salvation. Look at verse 15 of Isaiah 52. So he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths because of him. For they will see what they had not been told them, and they will understand what they had not heard. His disfiguring as he is beaten and crucified will enable him to sprinkle many nations. He will offer a cleansing from sin. But it will also be the path to exaltation. As we see, kings shut their mouth as they realize that they are in the presence of a greater king. So how do we unlock this mystery of how the servant can be both exalted and dead? Well, the answer is one word: resurrection. Resurrection is the key to understanding how Jesus can die and be exalted. Resurrection is the event that separates his death from his ascension and exaltation. It explains how Jesus can go from being in the grave to being on the throne in heaven. In 1 Corinthians 15, we read that a resurrection along with a cross is of first importance. Paul writes, "I pass on to you as most important what I also received. For Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." Apostle Paul there says that a cross and resurrection are both of first importance, yes, but they're also according to the scriptures, the Old Testament parts of our Bible. And one of the passages he must have had in mind as he writes those words, according to the scriptures, according to the scriptures, was Isaiah 53. Because in these words of a prophet, we see both Jesus dying for our sins and being raised. We see both Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Isaiah 53 pictures Jesus dying for our sins. Look at verses 3-6 of Isaiah 53. "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was like. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised, and we didn't value him. Yet he himself bore our sicknesses, and he carried our pains. But we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all." Isaiah is clear. Jesus' death was in our place. He died to take the punishment we deserve. He was under the curse of God that we should have been under. And it was because of our sins, because we were like sheep that have gone astray. We turned our back on God and turned to our own way. But out of love for us, Jesus died willingly for us, so that we can be forgiven, cleansed of all our sin, and have peace with God. But there's something else we need to add to our understanding of why Jesus died. Jesus did die because of us and for us. He did die willingly, but look at how verse 10 of Isaiah 53 begins, which adds a different perspective to the death of Christ. Verse 10, "Yet the Lord was pleased to crush him severely." The cross was no accident. It was God the Father's plan and purpose before the world was made to send Jesus into the world to die. He knew this was the only way for sinners to be brought into relationship with him. And Isaiah tells us that Jesus is the obedient servant who willingly followed his Father's plan. But Jesus did not just die for sins, as Scripture said he would. He was also raised according to the Scriptures. Look at verses 10-12. How the passage ends. "Yet the Lord was pleased to crush him severely. When you make him a guilt offering, he will see his seed. He will prolong his days. And by his hand, the Lord's pleasure will be accomplished. After his anguish, he will see light and be satisfied. By his knowledge, My righteous servant will justify many, and he will carry their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him the many as a portion, and he will receive the mighty as spoil, because he willingly submitted to death and was counted among the rebels. Yet he bore the sin of many and interceded for the rebels. Do you see his resurrection predicted in these verses? Just listen to some of the lines from those three verses again. He will see his seed. After death, he will see his seed. He will prolong his days. After his anguish, he will see light and be satisfied. Or into verse 12, I will give him the many as a portion. He will receive the mighty as spoil. There is an expectation in these verses that after the servant dies, he's going to be alive again. For these things to happen, he has to be. But he's not just going to be alive again. He will be exalted. He have a portion among the great, divide the spoil among the strong. And the reason for this exaltation Jesus receives is because of his death. Because of his willingness to obey God's plan to save many people from all over the world by bearing their sin and bringing them to God. Resurrection, you see, is the key that unlocks this mystery of how Jesus, God's servant, can both die and be exalted. God's raising Jesus shows his approval and acceptance of Jesus' death. And because of this, two things can now happen. Let's look at them now. Two things guaranteed to happen because of Jesus' resurrection. Firstly, he will live forever. Firstly, Jesus will live forever. Jesus will live forever because death is not the end for the servant in Isaiah 53. Look at verses 10 and 11 again with me. Yeah, the Lord was pleased to crush him severely. When you make him a guilt offering, he will see his seed, he will prolong his days, and by his hand the Lord's pleasure will be accomplished. After his anguish, he will see light and be satisfied. After God crushed Jesus, making him a guilt offering, making him that sacrifice that removes our guilt because of our sin, this guilt we have before God, so that he can be covered over. After the suffering of his soul, those 3 hours he was in the darkness as the wrath of God was poured out upon him. After that, Jesus died and was laid in a grave. But that was not the end for him. Because if it was, it would have meant that he failed as a guilt offering. See, death is a punishment for sin. So if Jesus remained dead, it would mean that he was still being punished for sin. And therefore his death was a failure. It wasn't doing anything for us. Which would mean that putting our faith in him, well, that's just a complete waste of time. Because Jesus' death hasn't satisfied God's wrath. If Jesus is still dead, he's still being punished for his sins, trusting him in him, well, that's as good as trusting in anybody. You see, if he hasn't paid the penalty of death our sins deserve, we are still under God's judgment. But Jesus' death was acceptable to God. God raised him to show that sin had been paid for. If Jesus has fully paid for the punishment of death, death can't be the last word. It can't be the last word for him. He must live forever. But it's not only Jesus who will live forever. He's not going to live forever on his own. He's going to live forever with his family. Because that's the reason why he came into this world. The reason why he left the glory of heaven. The sweet fellowship that he was enjoying with the Father and the Spirit for all eternity. Why he left heaven and humbled himself to become a man. Yes, he remained the Son. But he took on flesh. He came to earth. And it was in order to get a family. And Isaiah speaks of what Christ's coming would be like. It appears on first reading that he failed to get his family. He died, obviously, because he was married and had children. Verse 8, he was taken away before because of oppression and judgment. And who has considered his fate? For he is cut off from the land of the living. He was struck because of my people's rebellion. Another way of reading verse 8 or translating it is, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. Jesus had no earthly descendants when he died. However, Jesus wanted more than a wife and 2.4 children. No, the family he was going to get was going to be a great multitude of people, impossible to count, from all the nations of the world. And his resurrection assures us that he will get his family. He's going to be a firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Middle of verse 10. He will see his seed. He will see his seed, his offspring. After he died on a cross, he would be raised from the dead so that he would see all those that he died for. Like the joy that a mother has when she holds her baby for the first time after going through the pain of childbirth. It was a joy of knowing that one day he would see his seed, his offspring, that enabled Jesus to bear their iniquities and endure the pain of a cross. And who are his seed? Well, it's those of us who have believed the message of Isaiah 53, who are convinced that we are sinners before God, who are convinced we're in a dangerous position, rightly facing the punishment of hell and helpless to do anything about this, but who have found salvation by turning from our sins to Christ alone, believing that he has received the punishment our sins deserved and paid it fully, as his resurrection proves. Isaiah said, God's righteous servant will justify many and carry iniquities. This is what Jesus has done. He's done everything necessary for you to be part of his family and have eternal life with him in heaven. He's taken your guilt away and replaced it with his perfection. So now, if your faith is in him, when God looks at you, he sees someone who's not been like a sheep that's gone astray. He's not seen someone who has turned to his own way. He sees someone who is in Christ. And because they are in Christ, they are righteous. Because you are justified on the basis of your faith in Christ, you can have confidence. You can have a future that is secure. In one of London's cemeteries, apparently there is a grave belonging to a wife of a preacher. And the gravestone is bare, apart from one word written on it. Ascended. It's always written on this gravestone. The preacher apparently mourned the death of his wife, but didn't want to write the usual died and then the date, because he had a greater hope for her. Later, after he died, others remembered what he did for his wife, and his gravestone is carved with these words. Born April the 9th, 1830. Ascended November the 28th, 1902. Ascended, that is the hope that we have. Because of the resurrection, the word ascended can be written on our gravestone. It's only because of resurrection they can be written on any gravestone. As the resurrection guarantees that Jesus will live forever with the many people he has justified, who on the basis of his death have been declared not guilty by God, and who won't receive the punishment they deserve. Resurrection guarantees that Jesus will live forever. And secondly, it guarantees that he will reign forever. He will reign forever. Jesus will reign forever because he has been exalted. Look at verse 12. Therefore, I will give him the many as a portion, and he will receive the mighty as spoil, because he willingly submitted to death and was counted among the rebels. Yet he bore the sin of many and interceded for the rebels. Imagery in this verse is of the servant returning from his mission like a warrior laden with spoil. His weakness, the weakness that dominates Isaiah 53, has now turned to strength. for dishonor that we see in Isaiah 53 for a bulk of the verses has turned into honor. His defeat, and he looks like he's defeated as he's put to death on the cross, as he dies. Well, that defeat has been turned into victory. Because the resurrection means that Jesus will be recognized by all for who he truly is. One day, everyone will recognize Jesus for who he truly is, the King of Kings, one who has been victorious over all his enemies. In that great hymn that the Apostle Paul recalls for us in Philippians 2, he speaks of Jesus laying aside his majesty, of humbling himself to death on the cross. But then there's that turning point in verse 9 of chapter 2, where he says, therefore, God has exalted him to the highest place. And it tells us that one day everyone is going to bow before him in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. God has raised him to the highest place. He's exalted him to the highest place. Why has he done that? Look at how verse 12 ends. Therefore, I will give him these things because he willingly submitted to death and was counted among the rebels. Yet he bore the sin of many and interceded for the rebels. God exalted Jesus because he is the Saviour. Yet this exaltation couldn't have happened until he lived that life of perfect obedience and had died as a perfect sacrifice for our sin. Resurrection is proof that his work has been accomplished. It's been completed. And because it has, Jesus is the King and Saviour who will reign forever. But God also exalted Jesus so that we can believe this message. Jesus told his followers this hours before he died on the cross. He said to them in that upper room, I'm going, I'm leaving, and it's for your benefit that I do. Why was that? Because he said, I will send another counselor. Talking about the Holy Spirit. And he's going to come, and when he comes, he'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It's because Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. It's because he's been exalted that we receive this great benefit. The benefit of his Holy Spirit who is sent into the world and into our lives to convict us. So that we might see ourselves as sinners in need of saving. And we might see Jesus as the risen and exalted King that we need. Who by dying on the cross, who by offering himself as a guilt offering, can save us if we bow the knee to him and acknowledge him as Saviour and Lord. And do that we must before it is too late, because he will reign forever. Over all his people, which he blesses with life in a new creation, but also over his enemies, whom he punishes with wrath in hell. It's for this reason that what we're told in about Jesus in Isaiah 53 must be shared. If we know that Jesus has died for our sins, that he's been raised, and because of that, it means we can live and reign with him forever. We can't keep that to ourselves. If we believe that the message of Isaiah 53 is true, that Jesus is dying on a cross is the only way that God can save people, well, surely we want others to know this. It was meditating on this passage in Isaiah 53. That motivated the Apostle Paul with all his great missionary journeys. He quotes Isaiah 52 verse 15 in Romans 15, where he says, my aim is to preach the gospel where Christ has not been named, so that I will not build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. Resurrection means Jesus will live forever. He will live forever with his family, with all who trust in him for their salvation. And he will reign forever over both his people and his enemies. Let's make sure that we know this certainty of being among his people. And let's tell those who are currently his enemies how they can be among his people too. Let's pray.